I'm David Polk, and it's my pleasure to be here sitting next to Bryce Dessner, who is a composer, also a musician, and I think just as importantly, a convener and a connector of different genres of art and different genres of music. And I wanted to start with the idea of genre, because it seems like in every interview you do, much is made, of course, of the fact that you're also a major rock musician. Do you find that there's less of a distinction when you're working with a youth symphony than with professional musicians or with other people in the classical world, or maybe they make more of a big deal out of that?
I think that whether I'm working with teenagers who are studying classical music really seriously, like these the kids here in Chicago, or you know, two nights ago I was with the Alabama Symphony in Birmingham, and they're professionals who have been, you know, doing what they do for 20 or 30 years. You know, my education is very similar to both, you know, where I came up playing classical music and started playing in bands as a teenager. And then, you know, what happened was I learned that actually what made me unique was the diversity of my interests, that I didn't necessarily want to, you know, there were multiple paths open to me. There might have been the solo classical guitar recitalist, or the sort of serious art composer, just doing that, not playing any instruments, or just playing in my band. And in actual fact, what ended up defining me was and being most interesting to me was kind of pursuing all these things and trying to do them as best as I can. So not necessarily trying to do everything at once or watering them down, that, you know, trying to get all my crazy orchestral ideas into a pop song, or trying to get, you know, a super catchy refrain into my orchestra piece, but actually to pursue these things on their own. And I think that a lot of musicians share something common with that, where maybe they have multiple interests. You know, sometimes I think people can, you know, if it's a fan of the band, they might be most excited about that. Or I think actually a good percentage of these kids playing in the orchestra probably don't even know who the National is. I think our fan group skews a little older. So to them, I'm just the composer of the piece they're playing, which is actually kind of great.
It's probably refreshing for you. Have you found a mix of audiences coming to your classical concerts and maybe vice versa?
I think for sure, you know, I'm always surprised at who comes out. We have certainly a contingent of really open-minded fans of the band that love hearing everything else we're doing. So they make up a number of people that might come. But then there's, you know, a lot of folks who have been following my work for years, as it's been really since before the band started that I've been doing contemporary music and writing my own music. And so, you know, it might be a smaller group of people, but I think there are, you know, all kinds of kind of curious music listeners who are interested in this music. And then, you know, sometimes if a orchestra piece is on a subscription series of a traditional orchestra, you might get a lot of people who aren't even used to hearing new music at all, who might be hearing a living composer for the first time. And that's always interesting as well, because they, you know, their reactions are quite, can be really exciting.
I mentioned that because there is some sort of excitement, I think, around the idea of you as an ambassador for those of us in classical music to other genres, and of course hoping to get new audiences to some of these concerts.
I mean, I think there's a lot of talk in the classical music world, a sort of panic from mostly in the institutional side of that world, and, you know, large opera houses or large orchestras about, you know, audiences are getting older and how do we get a new demographic. And I think the secret is it's already happening. It's happening, and it's been happening for quite some time. I think that there's been a revolution in the rest of the music industry. Classical music might be happening later, but the shift away from major labels and commercial driven radio and the whole, you know, the coming of the internet and the way that's diversified people's taste in music, and also the kind of democratization of, you know, you no longer have to be able to afford a $150 ticket to the Met Opera to hear an opera. You can go hear it. You know, you could go see the HD, you know, the Met's streaming of operas. You could easily look things up on YouTube. And I think that people are doing that. And that really allows for a new groundswell of audiences and new demographic of people coming out. And I think that we see that as the musicians and composers, and these things are kind of, you know, even someone like Steve Reich, if you ask him about it, he's 80 years old and, or almost 80 years old, excuse me, Steve. And I think he'll say, you know, from the time he started to now, it's just a huge difference. And I think that, I think it's already happening. And someone I might be, you know, someone like myself is a good example of I grew up with a mixed education. There was never a moment where I was a pop musician who decided to write orchestra music, or I was a classical musician who decided to start a band. It was always from the very beginning, I had both interests. And I think that is reflected in many of my peers and many of the audience.
You just, speaking of mixing, you just recorded St. Catherine by the Sea in Denmark it was in Denmark, right? For Deutsche Grammophon, which is not known for perhaps doing as much new music. How has your experience with the Chicago Youth Symphony been different from all the other performances of this piece so far? You just had one rehearsal, I know, but...
I really relish the opportunity to work with young people. There's a group in New York, the Brooklyn Youth Chorus, that I have a long relationship with. I've written them 4 or 5 works, and we have a kind of, you know, multi-year kind of collaboration. And so I've never worked with a youth orchestra, and so I really jumped at the opportunity for several reasons. Some of them selfish, which is they rehearse a lot more than professional orchestras, so you get the opportunity to get deeper into detail in the music. The other, you know, huge thing is that the kids clearly are enjoying themselves. They're there. They want to be there. It's on their own time. You know, they clearly love each other, and there's an energy in the room that, you know, frankly, you know, part of the, not that all professional orchestras are that way, aren't that way. You know, certainly, there's amazing, amazing musicians in this country, but I think there is sometimes a feeling as a young composer working with a traditional orchestra where you feel like, you know, you're not getting enough rehearsal, or maybe that not everyone's so excited to be playing this music that isn't the standard rep. And so it's that creative energy, that excitement that is unique and really special about doing this.
And how did this rehearsal go today? What sorts of feedback were you giving the students?
The rehearsal went great. I think we were really getting into levels of detail that I didn't expect to get to, because, you know, we really could. The first time we sat down, we played the piece through, which I expected it. You know, it's not an easy piece. It's in 5-4. It has all kinds of things that, you know, are not the most straightforward. I think that the percussion section, especially, I was really surprised how well they were grooving. I think there's bits of the piece which are more like rock music or like electronic music, and as young people, they're used to hearing this, and so it was clear that they totally understood that. There were other things that I thought, for instance, some phrasings of that the guitar is half with the strings that we were working on, and the other thing that we were talking about is just intent. That, you know, as you play a note, it's the energy that you're, you know, it may be just you're holding the same note for 6 bars and you can do that, you know, and let your mind wander. But if you're doing that in a state where it's like your focus is your, you know, that really that moment is you're giving it a really, you've made a decision about how you're playing it. And we see so some subtle things like that I think make a huge difference.
And as I mentioned at the beginning, I think just as much from what I've learned about you, as much as being a composer and a musician, you love to convene all sorts of and collaborate with all sorts of institutions, and that's such an important part of what you are doing. How did this collaboration begin?
The Chicago Youth Orchestra, the directors came to me with this idea, and we met and talked about it, and I came and visited the building, and you know, just they, you know, I listened to the group as well and realized that they're really working, you know, how ambitious.
They checked out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've also had, you know, some experiences with younger people playing chamber music, which were really amazing. So I knew that on a bigger scale, this could be something really special. But the idea came from the institution.
When you spoke with Philip Glass, you seemed especially concerned, almost like you were asking him advice about how a composer finds his voice and what that process is like. And did you describe somewhere else that you found that this particular piece most represented your voice, or that you were getting close to that. It seems like this piece in particular is a milestone for you.
I think at a time, this piece felt like I was letting my guard down, and I think classical music has always existed between two poles, one of which is a kind of elite or sort of academic place, because we all train to do this, and no matter what, you know, unless you're some sort of self-taught genius, you're usually coming out of some kind of conservatory or school. And then, so there's this kind of academic pole, and then there's the influence of popular music. And you can kind of trace the careers of many composers in between, moving back and forth between those. You know, even someone like Stravinsky was, you know, writing, you know, shocking things like The Rite of Spring, and then later in his career, he's writing neoclassical music and all. And I think that, you know, Philip Glass is someone who, early in his career, he found a sound and he just stuck to it, and it's and he's instantly recognizable, and there's something so beautiful about that, of really hearing his voice and knowing it's him. So yeah, when I was speaking to him about that, I kind of just wanted his, you know, thoughts of for a young person finding their way. With this piece, St. Caroline by the Sea, it is I think the influence of working with so many instruments, of writing for full orchestra, felt kind of opened a door for me into the piece. Shifts quite a bit in terms of, even in terms of style and sound and color and these things. And so it feels, it has a kind of elegiac or almost poetic feeling about it, where it's quite expressive music. And maybe earlier I wouldn't have gone quite that far, but I felt comfortable to do it with this one.
Well, there are a lot of topics we could go on and on about, especially about American music. And you were talking about Copland and Steve Reich and Philip Glass and all these great people before. Maybe some other time. Well, Bryce Dessner, thanks very much for speaking with us.